So for some time, we have been going through the Proverbs, learning lessons that God has for us in the Proverbs. Tonight, we will consider a couple of Proverbs from chapter 29. Chapter 29, last time I spoke to you, we dealt with a couple of Proverbs from both 28 and 29. Tonight, we'll deal with three from chapter 29, and if you want a title for the lesson this evening, the title, I think, could be The Blessing of Physical Discipline. The Blessing of Physical Discipline. There are at least 13 Proverbs that deal with physical discipline. By physical discipline, I mean the deliberate infliction of bodily pain for behavior change. The deliberate infliction of bodily pain for behavior change. Physical discipline is not the only kind of biblical discipline, nor is it to be used in every situation where discipline is required. However, it is a part of, it is a type of discipline that God has given to us for our blessing that should not be neglected. Some of the physical discipline proverbs deal with children, and others deal with adults. This evening I will focus on those that deal with children. Part of the reason for that is I have not figured out how all of this works out with those who deal with adults. So, the proverbs that deal with adults specify that fools are those that are candidates for physical discipline. Now, I'm going to go through a number of proverbs here. I'll go through them slowly. And if you'd like to turn to them, I will try to be sure you have enough time. So, the first proverb dealing with adults, specifically fools, that require or that can benefit from physical discipline is Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 at verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Other physical discipline proverbs that apply to adults are Proverbs 10 at verse 13. Proverbs 10 at verse 13. Proverbs 10:13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Proverbs 17:10. Proverbs 17:10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Proverbs 19 at 25. Proverbs 19 at 25. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. Proverbs 29:19. Proverbs 29:19. A servant will not be corrected by mere words. For though he understands, he will not respond. The Proverbs dealing with physical discipline of children, and that's what we will focus in on this evening. I realize that we have a number of people here that are not parents, have been parents, maybe are grandparents, maybe are great-great-grandparents, But nevertheless, I think there's some lessons here that maybe we can learn or refresh our memory of that will be useful in terms of advising other people. So, those physical discipline proverbs dealing with children. Proverbs 13:24, and I'll add that these are very well-known proverbs. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but the child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And the last proverb, Proverbs 29:17. Proverbs 29:17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. One important teaching in all these proverbs is that physical discipline has a place in God's world. Physical discipline has a place in God's world. More and more, we are told in modern America that physical discipline, especially of children, has no place. It is not uncommon to hear child psychologists, educators, and others condemning the use of physical discipline. They say that physical discipline is barbaric and inhumane. They also say that parents who use it are angry, ignorant, and lack self-control, and therefore are involved in this self-defeating, immoral behavior. Let us be perfectly clear. This is completely contrary to what the Word of God teaches. God says sinful human beings at times require physical discipline from God-ordained human authorities. God is right, and all those who oppose Him are always completely wrong. I think it's best to review some basic Bible teachings before we examine the physical discipline proverbs dealing with children. These Bible teachings will refresh our memories and provide a helpful context for these proverbs. I will limit the review to four teachings. 1, ordinary means. 2, salvation. 3, parenting, and 4, meaning of the word rod in the book of Proverbs. Ordinary means. The Bible teaches that God rules. That is, He completely controls all things in His creation. The world in which we live is a place that exists because of God's plan. Before the universe was created, God planned what He would create and why He would create it. The universe is a display of God's glory, His wisdom, His power, His holiness, His justice, His goodness, and truth. The universe is also a display of God carrying out His most wise and holy plan. This we call providence, God carrying out His most wise and holy plan. Divine providence is what could be called the mechanism by which God executes His plan. The plan of God not only includes the goals God chooses to accomplish in creation, but also the way in which those goals will be accomplished. This is to say that God plans both the ends and the means. We know from the Bible that God does as He pleases, in which case He is not limited to the use of means to accomplish His ends in this world. However, we see that God ordinarily uses means. He uses means to accomplish His goals. Please keep in mind that God can and sometimes does act above, beyond, and contrary to the means that He ordinarily uses. Nevertheless, God has commanded us, His creature, to use means to accomplish those goals that He has set before us. The point is that God uses means and He instructs us also to use means. The ordinary or normal way in which we are to accomplish His will for our lives is through the use of God-approved means. Here are two examples of this. It is the will of God that I, as a father, provide food for my family. How is this to be done? The Bible says by means of work. It's to be done by work. Work is the God-approved way for obtaining food for my family. It is also the will of God that I be personally holy. The God-approved way in which I become personally holy is by the use of prayer, Bible reading, public and private worship. These are the ordinary means for developing personal holiness. Salvation. The Bible plainly teaches that God has no duty to save anyone from their sins. God is perfectly holy and just in allowing every sinner to die in their sin and spend eternity in hell as an object of His holy wrath. However, God will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. It is the mercy of God that brings about salvation for any lost sinner. God's mercy in saving sinners involves doing for sinners what they cannot do for themselves. All lost sinners are dead in trespasses and therefore cannot pay the debt for their own sin, nor can they become personally righteous before God. However, these things are absolutely essential to be saved, to be right with God. All lost sinners, therefore, need a Savior. All lost sinners dead in their trespasses are therefore without any hope of saving themselves. Nevertheless, God is delighted to save His people from their sins. This is accomplished through the work of Jesus Christ, living a life of perfect obedience and dying on the cross for His people. The work of Christ is applied by God to God's people, who are called in the Bible the elect. Who are the elect? God has not given us a list of these people. However, we know that His people are those who repent and believe the gospel. His people are those who have been given the gift of faith. God's people are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone.
parenting.
The Bible teaches that parents are given the responsibility of raising up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. It is not the government. It is not the church. It is not the school. It is not the community that God has been pleased to make responsible for child raising. It is the parents. Those children that have parents are to be protected, instructed, disciplined, encouraged, and provided for by their parents. The Bible contains general principles for parenting as well as specific instructions. The Bible also contains information on the normal outcome of biblical parenting as well as unbiblical parenting. Please, please remember that the normal outcomes can admit of exception. Furthermore, we must separate spiritual outcomes, essentially involving salvation and sanctification, from social outcomes, essentially involving good public behavior. A child may receive faithful biblical parenting and it have little positive social or spiritual outcome. Or a child may receive consistent biblical parenting and it have great positive social and spiritual outcome. We can say that biblical parenting provides no absolute guarantee of the desired outcome. Nevertheless, it is the duty of every parent to provide biblical parenting. Why? Because God commands it. That's why. However, the ordinary way of achieving both positive social and spiritual outcomes in a child is by biblical parenting. Ordinarily, God is delighted to use biblical parenting to bless our children. As we shall see, biblical parenting includes physical discipline of the child. Rod. Many of the physical discipline proverbs cite the rod as the tool of physical discipline. When the proverbs use the word rod, this word cannot be, I repeat, it cannot be correctly understood in a metaphorical sense as a symbol of something other than a stick used to inflict pain. The word rod must be understood in a literal sense as a piece of wood from a real tree. To repeat, the rod in the Proverbs is an instrument used for physical discipline, for behavior change. We know this about the word rod because of the clear meaning of the Hebrew word used and the context in which it is used. Do whatever Hebrew word study you want and you will see that this is accurate. The Proverbs do not limit attempts at behavior change only to the use of the rod. Teaching and rebuke are also necessary tools for bringing about behavior change, as well as encouragement and support. In fact, it seems that teaching and rebuke should normally be used first. Then teaching and rebuke should be used in connection with the infliction of pain by the rod. Let us now consider some of the physical discipline proverbs that deal with children. I begin with Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Although he may scream and yell and complain as if he's going to die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. In this proverb, the use of the rod in training a child is so important that it is presented as something that has the power to deliver the soul from hell. There is no good reason to see this as hyperbole, an overstatement to make a point. God can and sometimes does use the rod as a means of preparing for giving spiritual life. We know that salvation is by grace alone for those who are God's elect. For those with ordinary mental faculties, salvation comes from hearing and believing the gospel. Those whom the Holy Spirit enables to hear and believe the gospel are those that are made spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit and given the gift of saving faith. No one, I repeat, no one is simply beaten into the kingdom of God as if conversion comes wholly from the infliction of pain alone. A stick has absolutely no magic in it or supernatural power in and of itself to convert anyone. To believe that a stick is that which transforms the heart of a sinner is to go against the plain teaching of the Scripture. Yet the stick has been ordained by God as a means by which He may bless in order to bring that about. God uses many means in the life of a person to bring about conversion, to bring about a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and physical discipline is often one of them. In Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, it appears that the wise man thinks that it is impossible to overuse the rod, for he says, if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. In other words, it is impossible to harm the child with the rod of physical discipline. Well, we know very well that this is not true. A rod can, and sometimes does, harm both children and adults. I clearly remember a Korean student, high school student of mine, who had a crooked arm. And one day I asked him, I said, how is it that your arm is crooked? Were you born that way? He said, no. He said, in Korea, I was misbehaving in class, and my teacher struck me with a tamarack rod and broke my arm. And I was not able to have it straightened and put in a splint. Well, I hope the teacher went to jail for this, but things are really different in Korea. I asked him, how was your behavior then in that class? He said, perfect. Does this proverb really teach that there is no such thing as danger when using a rod of discipline? No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. When we consider other passages in the Bible, we know this for sure, no question about it. Parents are to love their children and do what is best for them, which does not include endangering them from serious physical harm. Furthermore, the Proverbs require moderation and self-control in all that we do. The point of spare the rod, spoil the child, is that the rod, on occasion, needs to be used carefully for the benefit of the child, not for the harm of the child. Remember that Proverbs 13:24 also says, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The word promptly includes the idea of beneficial physical discipline without delay. A related point often overlooked is that failure to physically discipline when needed, is a form of child abuse. Well, how can that be? Well, because that is what the Bible says. A very strong biblical case can be made for this. Yes, I'm saying that parents who never, ever, under any circumstances, would use the rod of correction are parents that could be child abusers in failing to do this. This we see in Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Today in America, a lot is made of how bad child abuse is, and it should be. However, I think that most Americans would not think of parental failure to physically discipline a child as abuse, but it certainly can be. The failure to chasten is connected to those parents that set their heart on the destruction of their children. Consider this. When your 5-year-old son has a complete meltdown in the grocery store because you refuse to chastise him, and he continues to scream, yell, crick, and even try to bite you because you do not buy him the candy that he wants, that he demands, this is a young man that probably needs some biblical chastisement. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A very important part of training up a child in the way he should go involves physical discipline. Proverbs 22:6 teaches elect children, trained by parents in the way they should go, at some point in their lives will repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Biblically trained elect children will enter the path of righteousness and remain on it all their days. All elect children, no exceptions, no qualifications, will be saved. And normally this is through biblical parenting, which includes safe physical discipline. If parents fail to train their elect children, then God will use some other means to draw these children to himself. However, those parents who fail in this matter must someday give an account to Almighty God as to why they failed to do what they were commanded. Proverbs 22:15, which reads, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. When we put together what we have learned so far in the Proverbs about fools, we see that fools are people in serious trouble, and most likely they do not even realize it. Fools are people that make a mess of their lives and sometimes the lives of others. They are unworthy of honor, unteachable, untrustworthy, deceived, and self-deceptive. The Proverbs do not teach that fools are people lacking in intelligence. Fools are not essentially what some modern educators call learning disabled. The Proverbs teach that fools are people that are unwilling to use their minds to think the way God wants them to think. They are people that prefer the path of life that leads to destruction. Proverbs 22:15 teaches that the rod is a God-ordained means of restraining and or delivering the child from foolishness. Proverbs 29:15. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but the child left to himself brings shame to his mother. In Proverbs 29:15, we see a contrast made between the child that is given biblical discipline and the child that is not. Biblical discipline includes both the safe use of physical pain and firm verbal correction. Safe physical pain and firm verbal correction are means blessed by God to develop children that are not embarrassments to their parents because they misbehave. Earlier, I separated positive social outcomes from positive spiritual outcomes from biblical parenting. By positive social outcomes, I mean a well-behaved child. By well-behaved, I mean someone who is generally honest, obedient to authority, self-controlled, respectful, and courteous to others. We know this about what it is to be well-behaved from both general and special revelation. Please, please notice that these things are not reliable indicators of spiritual life. Yes, God does require these things of children as well as adults. However, converted children do these things, and some unconverted children also do these things, but these unconverted children are still lost in their sins. Now, by positive spiritual outcomes, I mean conversion and sanctification, becoming a Christian and becoming more Christ-like. The child left to himself. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but the child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The reason why this child normally brings shame to parents is that the child comes into this world a lost sinner. When we see a newborn child, often our reaction is, what a beautiful child. Oh, how cute and precious this little baby is.
Yes.
But this beautiful, cute, precious baby is also a totally depraved sinner. If this beautiful, cute, precious baby, which is a sinner, does not repent and believe in Jesus Christ, he or she will one day be cast into hell, but prior to that will cause many problems for their parents if not properly disciplined. Young, totally depraved sinners do not on their own become honest, obedient to authority, self-controlled, respectful, and courteous to others. They just don't. Nor do they naturally on their own repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Biblical parenting, which includes using the rod and rebuke, are ordinary means God uses to bring about both positive social and spiritual outcomes in a child. In the book of Proverbs, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In which case, we must ask, does the rod and rebuke bring about the fear of the Lord? This is similar to asking, does the rod and rebuke bring about salvation? The answer is no. The rod and rebuke cannot produce either the fear of the Lord or salvation in and of themselves. However, the rod and rebuke are God-ordained means by which the fear of the Lord and salvation do occur. Now, there is what might be called a common grace wisdom. That, in some ways, resembles biblical wisdom. This common grace wisdom does not involve a true fear of the Lord, but does involve practicing many of the biblical ways of life. This common grace wisdom is developed in young sinners by God, often blessing the use of biblical discipline. Biblical discipline is not always a blessing for children come final judgment day. Children that receive biblical discipline and grow up to reject it receive a greater wrath because they know much better who God is and how they should live than someone that has not received biblical discipline. We are all judged by God on the amount of light we are given. To whom much is given, much is required. For those who know the right thing and do not do it, much more blame is placed upon them than those who do not do the right thing because they do not know it. Similar point is made in Luke 12. Luke 12, verses 47 and 48. And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. I remember in grade school, students were often asked by teachers what they wanted to be when they grew up. Would you want to be a policeman, fireman, teacher, doctor, nurse, baker, cook, or whatever, teachers told us in America, we can be whatever we wanted to be if we worked hard enough. This career guidance was good. God requires us to be good workers in our calling, absolutely. However, I do not remember any teacher of mine ever telling me that there's something that I should not be. And that is a fool. I sure needed to hear that from both my teachers and parents. In fact, I needed to hear that over and over again to the point where it is ringing in my ears. Why? Because there was foolishness bound up in my heart. I also needed the rod and rebuke to restrain and or replace that foolishness. I got my share of rod and rebuke, and I see now that it helped me. Kept me out of a lot of social trouble. But it did not at that time regenerate me. Willie Nelson sang a song in which he said, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys." God is telling us in this proverb something similar. Parents, don't let your babies grow up to be fools. You see, it is normal, natural for children who have foolishness bound up in their hearts to grow up to be mature, full-fledged, hardened adult fools. How can a parent prevent this? There is only one way. Parents must cry out to God to bless their godly parenting. Parents must consistently use instruction, encouragement, rebuke, and the stick. Parents must depend upon God to bless this. Ultimately, fools in training need to be converted so that they will fear the Lord, think the way God wants them to think, and live the way they should live. Always remember that the natural way of every young lost sinner is to grow up to be a full-fledged fool, adult fool. All children are fools in training. And apart from the grace of God, by the blessing of godly discipline, there is little or no hope for them to change for the better. Now Proverbs 29:17, and we're done. In Proverbs 29:17, which reads, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." We find a point made that is similar to the point made in 29:15. Children that receive consistent biblical discipline bring benefits to their parents. Consistent biblical discipline is not just a blessing for the children that receive it, but it is also a blessing for the parents. The blessing in 29:15 is your child does not shame or embarrass you. It restrains that. It cuts it down. The benefit in 29:17 is rest. Peace. Are the two connected? Most certainly they are. How much rest or peace does a parent have when they are notified by the police that their 11-year-old daughter was caught shoplifting? When your 9-year-old son is given a red card for fighting in a soccer match and ejected from the game, does this not both shame and deeply trouble you? Certainly, every loving parent has some degree of difficulty sleeping that night after events like this occur. Both their rest and peace are lost. The ordinary way God has given parents to prevent this is biblical discipline. It is clear that biblical discipline does not normally produce instant results. Whatever lasting benefits result from biblical discipline typically occur slowly over time. Why is this? Well, I don't have the complete answer. I suspect that part of it is that God uses biblical discipline of children to bring about good things for believing parents. This would include patience, endurance in disappointments, and greater trust in God. As a parent and a fairly successful dog trainer for over 38 years, I can assure you that developing a well-behaved dog is much quicker and involves much less work than developing a well-behaved child. However, parents must persist in doing this difficult work of biblical discipline because this is the work that God requires of them. And parents can trust that the Lord, as He pleases, will bless this work for the benefit of their children and for the benefit of them. May God give every parent the grace to be faithful in the use of biblical discipline in the training up of their children. Amen.